Hi, my name's Luke. I'm talking here today from the United Grand Lodge of Queensland, and we're doing our fourth podcast in a series of podcasts on a look at Freemasonry and what that means today. I'm sitting here today with the Deputy Grand Secretary, Graham Schultz, and we today are going to start talking about a few things like the aims of Freemasonry, things that we do and the things that we don't do. So, Graham, in your opinion, or not in your opinion, what do you think Freemasonry is about? What are our aims and objectives as being Masons?
Well, it's got some really dedicated aims, hasn't it? Noble aims, unselfish aims. It deserves and expects your sincere attachment and your faithful service to the Order. It will make some demands upon you, upon your time and energies to attend your meeting once a month. We ask you to consider that if you do proceed and you're accepted as a Freemason, it will be a duty and a privilege to attend your meetings of your lodge and to contribute your share to any of our useful undertakings.
Because we're talking to a lot of people that may not be Masons with this podcast, in terms of times and energy, there's a lot of misconceptions about how much time is required to be a Freemason. We've covered it slightly in other podcasts, but because we're talking about it, I'd like to say that as a person who's younger and has a lot of commitments, it's not that big a burden for people. It's 4 hours once a month in our jurisdiction here in Queensland, Australia. So that would be what people would expect. And meeting attendance isn't compulsory, but it would be nice if people attend because it's a nice thing to do.
Yeah, that's your minimum commitment is 4 hours once a month. And if you want to give more than that, if you've got time on your hands and you'd like to, you're certainly welcome to. But the minimum commitment that we'll ask you for is 4 hours once a month. And if you're looking for a place where you can confidently trust people and trust your family with them also, well then you should go ahead with your application for Freemasonry.
So if you decide to join, as part of our aims of Freemasonry, I guess we have certain obligations. What do you see those obligations entitling you to, or not entitling you, what are those obligations that you're required to sign up to in effect?
Well, the three principal tenets are brotherly love, relief and truth. So you undertake to care for your fellow human beings in brotherly love. Relief is that you try and support people who need support, and truth, to be truthful and even-handed in everything that we do.
Sure. I guess there's also a few things that we specifically do in Masonry. And would you like to maybe talk about some of those sorts of things that we do?
Sure. Well, if you're looking for a place where free thought, free speaking, and the spiritual growth of yourself can grow to your fullest potential, well, that's Freemasonry, within moral and civil guidelines, of course. And if you're looking for a place to meet outstanding individuals from all walks of life that you would not otherwise have the opportunity to meet and call brother, well, you'll certainly find them in Freemasonry. And if you want a place where you can be part of an organisation that has for its principal tenets those brotherly love, relief and truth, well, that's Freemasonry.
I guess those three tenets are really important to us, and that's why it attracts a lot of different people. In my own lodge here in Brisbane, we have a very diverse mix of people, and I find that one of the things that I wouldn't normally do in my personal life is associate with people from such a broad spectrum of the community, and I think that's one of the real things that I get out of being a Freemason is that cross-cultural sharing of ideas and thoughts about how we conduct ourselves and what we do with our lives.
That's right. Well, you never know who you would sit next to in a Masonic meeting. One night recently I was at a Masonic Lodge meeting at Stone's Corner, and I was sitting next to a 20-year-old man and a 93-year-old man.
Wow.
And the 93-year-old fellow was going out the next day to have a game of golf, and he asked me if I wanted to go and have a game of golf.
I hope I can play golf at 93, that's for sure. In terms of that sort of stuff, we also talk a lot about our moral virtues in Masonry and those teachings that we do. And in a later podcast, we're going to talk about the moral instruction that's given in Masonry and the type of things that you will learn through becoming a Mason. In terms of spending your time and effort with Masons, most lodges meet 11 times a year on average. Is that correct in Queensland?
Yeah, sure. Some of them will have December or January in recess, but normally lodge meetings are 4 hours once a month. If after you join Freemasonry, after you've done your first 3 degrees, say 18 months down the track, and you decide you'd like to take office in the lodge and become part of the organisation that actually runs and rules the lodge, well then you could give a little more time to go to a rehearsal or a practice prior to the lodge meeting. So that's about another couple of hours a month if that's what you'd like to do.
That's great, Graham. One of the things we haven't talked about, and it's quite important to talk about too, some of the things that we don't do. And my feelings would be to start out with saying that, in general, we typically won't talk about religion or politics in the body of a lodge. And what I mean by the body of a lodge is when the meeting is open and being conducted generally. It's not considered polite or friendly as part of Masonic etiquette.
No, not in a lodge meeting, and not afterwards at our suppers or at any Masonic gathering. It's not. We don't discuss religious or political matters. That's part of our constitution. It's something that can cause a lot of division and disturb the harmony of the lodge. And that's what lodge is about, is a harmonious place, and a place of sanctuary where men can go for 3 or 4 hours a month and do something that's been done the same way for hundreds, if not thousands, of years.
And I think a practical example of how diverse our members are, in our own state here in Queensland, we have members of Parliament on all sides who are Masons. And that said, they would never be talking about those particular issues in around our events, and they would have an opportunity to be true friends and brothers in an environment where they don't feel they're necessarily being competitive with each other about their thoughts or ideas.
That's right. It's not a place for canvassing.
No, not at all. And I think that's one of the few places in society nowadays where you can get some relief from that, and it's probably a good thing too, because we all actually have different background and views on these things, and we often end up finding ourselves losing that harmony within the walls of the building. Of a Masonic meeting. Mm. In terms of religious practices, a lot of people, particularly even friends and family, often think that I've signed up for some sort of new religion when I've told them and about becoming a Freemason quite a few years ago. And it took a little while to educate them about the fact that it's more of a philosophical understanding of the way our life is, as opposed to a specific set of religious practices or beliefs.
Mm. It's not, Freemasonry is not a religion, but it does have, I think, some religious elements. Like, for example, there is a holy book on an altar in every lodge room, and we look to that holy book, whether it's the Bible or the Quran or the Torah or whatever the book might be, for inspiration. And, for example, with the Holy Bible, we look for inspiration in it. We take from, for example, 1 Kings. A lot of readings in regard to our ceremonies, because that deals with the building of King Solomon's temple, which is basically around which what Freemasonry is formed about.
Sure, I guess also a lot of people seem to think that attending a Masonic meeting would be somewhat similar to attending a church service, but I actually find it's not like that at all, in the sense that it's participation from everybody within the room is actually to run and conduct the meeting in a typical way. It's not just a single person sort of educating or philosophizing or philosophizing about what we do and how we do things. So
yeah. There are some prayers. There are some
singing.
Some singing. Some not hymns, but the odes that we sing. But you can consider those as the equivalent of those that you would come to see at a school assembly or a council assembly, or not part of a religious church service as such. So more secular than that.
And that said, people who don't even belong to a particular organised religion, like myself, are not offended by the content of what actually takes place inside the body of the lodge. And I think that that's one of the things that I found over time, regardless of your denomination, your belief system. I have not actually seen a person with inside a meeting that's been surprised or alarmed at what's gone on in terms of how we conduct ourselves. There's actually quite a bit of information on the internet about what we do in our meetings as well. The United Grand Lodge of England has made a few documentaries about that. In terms of what we do, we don't indulge in secret schemes, plots or conspiracies. If people have watched The Simpsons, they might have actually seen the Stonecutters episode, and I actually think whilst that's comical, it kind of portrays a picture that we are joining an organisation that's trying to take over the world, and clearly that's not true. I mean, we have enough trouble organising our dinner after some meetings, so I don't think that's realistic. How do you feel about that? You have to deal with a lot of incoming new members. Is that often one of the things that are brought up or concerns of people?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have seen the Simpsons episode about the Stonecutters, and I think that, while it doesn't realistically portray what happens in a Masonic meeting, there are some elements there that maybe. But, you know, we're a group of people who come from all walks of life. We're there because we're Freemasons, but a lot of us belong to a church, a lot of us belong to Rotary, a lot of us belong to other organisations as well. So it's not the fact that we are Masons, I think, really that causes that, but it's the fact that, you know, part of Freemasonry is still private.
Yes.
And will always remain private, and I think that's what it is. I think that
I guess a lot of authors out there too have taken a lot of literature, like a license to entertain people, and often a book like a Dan Brown novel wouldn't be so interesting if it was boring and didn't really have any sorts of plots or schemes in it. But that said, they don't reflect the nature of what Masons do. That's not to say all Masons haven't in the past been involved in certain things. There's a great documentary called Riddles in Stone, which shows how the city of Washington was built largely by Freemasons, and my feelings about that is back then, when Washington was designed, there were a lot of men involved in masonry because that was a form of socializing that was normal for the culture, more than a set of masons sitting out and designing the city of Washington.
Correct.
In terms of Masonic membership, a lot of people would join thinking that perhaps they could get some sort of personal gain or promotion out of it. And again, that's really not what masonry is about, and it's largely frowned upon. And I can give the example of, I've yet to see a Masonic symbol on a business card, and it's one of the things that people shouldn't, or it's frowned upon that you should not do that. Have you seen anybody talking about that sort of stuff before in terms of thinking they can gain some sort of personal advantage or gain from it?
I think so, but we try and tell people that that's not the case, and you shouldn't join for personal gain. You shouldn't join thinking it's some sort of networking group. It's an opportunity to meet people, sure, that you wouldn't otherwise normally meet. But I think the interesting term about Freemasonry is the term disinterested friendship.
Yep.
We are friends, but we're not that interested in one another that we are going to be in one another's back pocket all the time. It's not that sort of organisation. It's more about your own personal self-development and being helped along the way by some other people who've been there before you.
Oh, absolutely. I guess part of the problem we have with that, the disinterested friendship, is that in years gone by, when communities and cultures were smaller in terms of who people socialised with, it probably is true that Masons spent more time socialising with each other, but that was just the nature of society then, with people actually spending smaller groups of social circles. So I would have thought that's a fairly accurate statement too. Well, I hope we've sort of covered a few of the myths and the aims of what Masonry is about. And I think we can wrap that up with our thoughts. And I think if people are interested in joining, come along and apply through our website, and we will take you through the process of how that can happen. And Graham will walk you through that process. Thank you for listening, and that's bye for this week. And stay on the level.
Thank you, Luke.